But if the church isn't ready and our hearts aren't ready, then what happened with our families? And so we are all so focused. Have you ever seen a good family life ministry? We are so all focused on prophecy, end time, when the Lord will come. Well, when the Lord comes and he asks you and he asks me for our children, our husband, our wife, what would we say? And so communication. Satisfy relational communication is a process of verbal and nonverbal interaction with others in which thoughts and feelings are shared and understood. That is, the receiver of the communication hears what is said and understands what is meant by the sender. So I'm going to talk to you and you will talk to me. That's what communication is. All right? Let's get the next slide. Please. And I've given you an idea where I got it from. It looked like the slides.
Biblical counseling keys on communication.
All right. So, communication. My next slide's on. All right. Now, that's good communication. Even the animals know how to communicate. You know, the birds could communicate. Let's go again. The complete message in communication. The next one slide. Go on. Go again. Now, nonverbal is 55. The tone of voice, 38%. And actual words, 7. Do you know we communicate more effectively by body language? Wow. By body language. By body language. Now, Pastor CJ, since you're here, I'm going to pick on you. And that's your wife. Watch here. Come, Pastor. Come here. Come, love, come here. Now look at her. Now if you want to tell her you love her and you want to use tone of voice, you could use two tone. Use the harsh tone and then use the different tone. Let me see you.
Which one first?
Anyone you want to. And we're going to tell you which is the best tone.
I love you.
Now what do you think? Does that express love? Not at all. Because you hear we say it like you're grunting. I love you. What did? Okay. Let's say again.
I love you.
How was that one? That's much better, right? Could you do much better? Yes. They say you could do much better. Yes. So let's hear it.
Baby, I love you.
How was that one? Okay. So what they say with expression. Do you know body language counts?
Yes.
It's not just the tone of voice. You know, thank you, Pastor. You know, I was doing a counseling session. Lord, that's why I don't want to be on air. Because I have too many personal stories that I would like to share. And since it's kind of... I was counseling a couple. And... The gentleman is not from North America, and the girl is from North America. Two different culture and two different customer clashing. So they came now after they got married, and they came for some counseling. And one of the things she said to me, Pastor, he doesn't say he loves me. So I look at him. I say, but why wouldn't you say that you love your wife each and every day? He said, well, you see, Pastor, once I said it one time at marriage, that's good for a lifetime. That's how some people... Now, I wonder how many times he said it while he was courting her. You see? So therefore, there is always that problem. Actual tone of voice, actual words. So remember the nonverbal communication. Your body language speaks volume. Next slide for me, please. Now, these are some of the symptoms of non-verbal behavior. Physical symptoms, frequent body movement, voice, dress, slowness, seductive behavior. Those are some, you got to watch those seductive behavior. It happens all over, even in the church. Let's go to the next one, please. Now, verbal communication convey thoughts and feelings with the spoken word. Both choice of words and tone of voice. It's important. It is important in a relationship, even with our children. even in the church board, wherever you go, learn to be like Jesus in how we communicate and how we share.
In saying that, you have had a long day. You were driving home, the streets were busy, somebody cuts across, and you're not very happy about it. But remember, you're a Christian, so you take a deep breath, and you get home, but somehow you have unresolved conflicts because you wanted to say something to that person. And the families are now there, your audience, and you arrive, and somebody said something to you, but because you've already been so upset and trying to contain all those emotions, you blurted out the wrong answer in the wrong tone, and you caused pain. It happens with each and every one of us. Now, the thing about it is, if you are in a state of mind that you may not come over effectively, kindly, and calmly, draw back. It is okay not to respond at that moment, because words fitly spoken are like apples. The thing about it is that when you say something unkind, you crush the next person's spirit. And most times, it is very hard to repair. You spend the rest of the evening trying to apologize, and sometimes you may miss your dinner, which is important. So one of the things is that we must learn to draw back. And if you're counting to 10 will not do it, go to 20. It helps. And practice, perfect practice at that, becomes perfect.
This is taken from the Reader's Digest. A 3-day retreat for pastors and their wives, like us. One session consists of testimonies about how the Lord has blessed our lives in ministries. A young preacher wife stood up and began nervously. The Bible promises, she says, that no good thing does the Lord withhold from them that walk uprightly. Well, she said sincerely, my husband is the one of those no good things.
No what?
No good things will the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. And the young lady blurted out, my husband is one of those no good things. And you know, we have some, let me get the next slide. How can I communicate with others in a way that most pleasing to God? You know, we're talking about communication here. The method of communication most pleasing to God is one that reflects Jesus Christ in all that you do or say. That means allowing Jesus to be Lord in your life, allowing Him to express His words and action through you. If we are Christians, then we must express ourselves in a kind and courteous way. Let me have the next slide, because our time is taking nonverbal communication. This one is important. I gave you just a little list now. Nonverbal communication expresses thoughts and feelings without words. Your facial expression, number one. Your body posture, hand gestures, direct or indirect eye contact. Do you know at one time when people from outside of North America will come to Canada, the immigration officers used to send them out back from the airport because they never looked them in the eyes. But where some of us are coming from, to look somebody in the eye was disrespect. You always look down. But in North America, if you look down, you're a bit shady. Until the government of Canada then sent down officers outside of North America to learn the customs of different people. So when you meet someone from a different country and they don't look you eye to eye, it's because it's through humility they would rather. It's disrespect to look you straight in the eyes. It's only when I came up here and I realized it, I look you right in your ball of your eyes. Straight up. That's what they taught us here. And that's what I do here. So we all could change in communication, right? We all can change. Now, silent respond. That's me. If I'm upset, I wouldn't say anything. I'll just stay quiet until I cool down. And then we talk. But some people, as I told you yesterday, with men and women, a man should never enter into an argument with a woman. You're going to lose every time. Every time you're going to lose. You could never win an argument. And the only reason is because women are greater communicators than men.
Yes, ladies.
It's true. Either we right or left brain, but women, there's a tissue that transmits information rapidly. So if you think you get into a discussion with her before you step up, men, we run. We can't handle it. And so therefore communication is important. You got to understand the male. You got to understand the man you're married to. And one thing I want you to note here in communication, if a man is hurt one time, you know what he does? He locks himself away. And it's going to take you another year to win his confidence. And when you win his confidence, he opens his door and looks down the corridor to see if the way is clear. And once he's out, he's good to go. But if you hurt him again and he locks in there, he never comes out. You see, men deal with facts and women deal with the emotion. When a woman wants to talk with her husband, she might look at him and say, it's sunny outside, and all he's going to say, what's new? But she really doesn't want to talk to him about his sun that shined there. She wants to have a conversation with him. Mm-hmm. And so communication is important. And the body language, if I could have the next slide, please. The next slide. Churches should focus on ministry to conflicted families as study advisors. Next slide. This is what the Washington Post say. It is especially critical for churches. Now watch that word, churches. The Washington Post is saying it is especially critical for churches to help couples work through moderate difficulties rather than settle for a good divorce in which parents stay involved in the child's life and minimize conflict with one another. Even the Washington Post, they're feeling that the church must play a role in helping family deal with issues that come up in their relationship. And if we don't have that as a ministry in our local churches, then we are missing the boat. With young families coming into the church, they are coming, they are being challenged with all what is happening around them. And if as a church, all we're going to talk to them about prophecy, instead of talking to them how to have a relationship with God and with each other, then we are missing the boat. We are missing the boat as the Adventist church. You could go on any bookshelf and you will find thousands of books on single ministries and women's ministries. And you hardly get some on men's ministry, different ministry. How much do we find on family ministry? Let's get the next. Look at them. Young couples. They come to your church. Just got married. Next thing you know, they can't deal with the issues of life. Anger sets in. Next slide. And want to divorce. Some of them can't take it. Stop the nagging. He closes his ears. He's ready to run. Don't know how to communicate. We just don't know. Next slide. Oh, this is a recent study by the Center for Marriage. Go ahead, my lady.
A recent study by the Center for Marriage and Families shows that children raised in divorced families or married but severely conflicted households are significantly less likely to attend religious services and express interest in God.
Now, you notice something very important here.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you're married or you were divorced. The problem here is the conflict in the relationship that will keep them away from God. It never said that if somebody remarry, that's a problem. No. It's saying the problem is they will less likely to attend religious service and express interest in God. Marriage and family show that children raised in divorced families are married, but severely conflicted household, where there's the nagging, where there's the problem, where's the fight, day and night. Children try to run. They run for cover. They run for help. They run for hope.
And just what they were saying with the concert, the concert we had on Sabbath evening, when the singers was sharing the story, or sharing the stories about their families, and when we as parents reflect other than God, or reflect who we should be, other than what God intends for us, it frightens our children, because we are modeling our Savior. Because we're coming to church, we're praying, we're singing, we're very nice to our neighbors. And when we get inside the confines of our homes, where it's supposed to be safe, we do not reflect God. Therefore, children, take cover.
I want you to see the next slide. Let's get the next slide there. For today, married with children household, ownership of multiple gadgets and communication tool is a standard feature of family life. Watch this. Taken from Pew Research. 58% of those living in married with children household own two or more desktop or laptop computers. Nearly two-thirds of those living in multiple computer households, 63%, link those computers in a home network. The technology, next slide, the technology, but you'll be surprised to know what this research is saying to us. Both spouses use the internet in 76% of married with children household, as do 84% of their children ages 7 to 17. Imagine children at 7 being exposed to the internet, exposed to the garbage, exposed out there between 7 and 17. Over 78% are on the internet, roaming on the internet. In the 65% of married with children household with a child between the age of 7 and 17 contain a husband, wife, and child who all use the internet. Let's talk. We're talking about communication. But our little ones are exposed to the World Wide Web, where you Google the word family one time and sex comes up 10 times, 1 to 10. Let's get the next slide. And we wonder why we're having a problem. 89% of married with children household own multiple cell phones. And nearly half, 47%, own three or more mobile device. This is a mobile device. This is a mobile device. And what is happening here? They say children in these households are somewhat less likely to own a cell phone than they are to go online. 57% of these children ages 7 to 17 have their own cell phone. Communication. Next slide. These are information you could collect yourself. Then, go ahead.
This new connectedness via cell phone and screen sharing is correlated with some benefits for family life, and we need to listen to this carefully. For example, those with the most technology are more likely to share moments with family members while they're online and to exchange some kinds of family communication, such as checking in with other family members and coordinating activities.
Okay. Before we take that slide, watch something. Yeah. What the research is saying to us, that in spite of all this technology, people are still connecting with each other through the day via text. But I want you to know, that a lot of people are in a denial mode. Because when you text home and everything is okay, you have nothing to talk about when you come home together. Because I text you out already. Next slide. But look at this. At the same time, this is a different kind of connectedness from the past, because those who have the most technology are more likely to live in a dual income household and also more likely to report that they are working longer hours, in part because of their use of the internet. We find excuse with these machines to stay away from the home. And could you imagine a wife with children at home and the husband is not at home, stays at work late in the night, and all he's going to text his wife or email his wife, everything is going on good. You think everything is going on good? You think everything is going on good? What about the social interaction? Maybe there's somebody down there looking at them and say, you look good today. So why is he going to come home? Sometimes we try to fool ourselves, and through some of these research, they're also telling us some of these things, and we need to take a look. Let's go to the next one. Watch this one. Those with multiple communication devices are somewhat less likely to eat dinner with their household members and somewhat less likely to report high level of satisfaction with their family and leisure time that are families with lower levels of technology ownership. People with less technology sit down and eat together. You remember, have too much technology,
yes. Then
you're done.
Do you remember we were talking yesterday too? You're traveling and you can go into a car and the car is packed with all the family members. But as soon as you're seated, everybody pulls out a little gadget. It's no more having family games while you travel long hours to general conference or to visit other family members. Because we are all consumed with what we want to share with our friends and outsiders before sharing with families. So the technology is good in one sense. One person may say, okay, a TV is bad. The TV is not bad. It's what you do with the TV. So we cannot run from technology. Technology takes us across. It spreads the gospel. But we as families, wanting to build healthy families as we walk with God, we have to be stewards of our time. And we have to carve out time to be with our families, to spend with our families. It's a war, it's a struggle, because remember, Satan is out to destroy. But at each point he comes, Christ will take us through. But we forget to say, Lord, lead me.
Have you ever noticed in your churches that they want to keep all the meetings on a Sabbath? And yet we say it's rest. But every meeting is held on Sabbath. You hardly have time to go home, sit with your family, and eat a good meal. There's a next meeting, and a next meeting, and a next meeting. Do you know in the church there are couples who are lonely? Women who are lonely, men who are lonely. Now, 2 days ago, Pastor and myself and two other pastors, we were playing a game, and Pastor's wife came, and she sat down on the side waiting for him. He was so happy playing and laughing with the guys. The wife was by herself. I took a glance, but she patiently waited. When she couldn't keep up with him, she got up and she said, I'm leaving. He didn't phase. He kept playing and he kept laughing. And he was having a good time. Well, I was having a good time with him.
And his wife was inside.
And my wife was looking through the cabin. And so sometimes we could be caught up. I'm telling you, all of us could be caught up in such a way with our own pleasures, our own amusement, and neglect the person just beside us. It happens, but don't take it for granted that it should continue. I think God called us to a higher living. And there's so many experienced people. You need to take those young couple and pull them in and help them to grow. Just help them to grow. And as they grow, little later you're going to look back and say, God, I just thank you that I was able to mentor this couple and show them the way of cross. Show them how to live. Show them how to live and to serve God. Let's get the next slide, please. While new communication technologies have increased the amount of time some people spend at their office or working from home, few people see them as having a negative impact on family closeness. Could you imagine that? They say few people say it doesn't bother them because they grew up in this era where technology back and forth. So they say it's okay. Let's get the next slides. Rick, go ahead with that one.
Indeed, 25% of our survey respondents feel that their family today is now closer than their family when they were growing up, thanks to the use of internet and cell phones, while just 11% say their family today is not as close as families in the past. So we have split decisions, and it's important that you look into your family, because your family, you understand your family, you understand your family's needs. And if you look at your home and try to improve and try to share and help others to grow, we can use the information from research, apply to us, and see how best we can improve situations in our home. Because what works for Mary and Jones and what works for the next family down the street will not necessarily work for you. I like to hear my husband's voice. I'm at work, and in my first break, I may be marking papers. My next break, I must hear his voice. If he's away across the seas and he'll tell you, is it Jerusalem or you were on the, you went on a tour, Bible tour, and he was way out in the seas. They were on a cruise ship and I managed to reach him. I just wanted to hear his voice.
I was shocked. I was shocked when they called me by satellite radio on the boat, having a good time, eating and having a good time on the phone, your wife. I mean, you know, I thought, well, somebody died.
It took me 2 days to get across to him. He said, how did you do that? Oh, we have a way. But it was good.
You know, one day, just one day, I parked my car in a parking lot. And I head out to a store to get something. And when I came in the car, I saw my wife crying. So I say, what happened? She said, I just see you walking. I love you so much. And she cried. Woman foolish. She cried for me all the time. You know, I don't understand her. You know.
It's called love. Yes.
Anyhow, slide. Let's get the next slide there. A majority of adults downplay the impact of technology at all. 60% feel that new technology have not made their family any more or less close than families in the past. They downplay it. They want this be accepted that we have all this technology around us and neglect that the devil is coming into the church with technology. And he's ruining families. And we know better than that we got to pay more attention to our families, in our communication, in being there with each other. We need to. It's easy to go up to the altar and say, I do. You know, I conducted so many weddings, you know, and one day this young fellow, you know, I told him before we counseled him, I said, now let me tell you, you're going to make a commitment for life with this woman, and you got to be strong on that day. And he said, okay. When he walked out and he saw the bride coming down, this big, strong, strapped man started to cry like a baby. And so after the wedding and everything, they came back in for counseling. So I said, you remember when you saw her and you were crying? What happened then? What changed? What changed? You know what changed? There was no communication in the relationship. He headed off to work. She had out to work. Both of them work for a big-time company and they're making big-time dollars. But even the dollars couldn't bring happiness in their family. Money doesn't give you happiness. Okay? And sometimes we put our money and then we go to a psychiatrist and psychologist. Do you know what this world is suffering from? Loneliness. Loneliness. There's a lot of lonely people in the pews in our churches. Lot and lot of lonely people. Do you know if people only learn to forgive themselves and be much happier, those mental institutions will be empty today. They'll be empty today. Let's get the next slides. We're coming down. Don't rush me now. Technology. Technology, that's what it does to you. Husband off to work. Didn't leave home happy that morning. Get out to work. And in that office, there's somebody who is going to sympathize with him. Somebody who is willing to listen to him. Somebody who is willing to give an air. Oh, how are you today? And that's what the devil is using. He's using means, different type of means and effort and energy he's putting against us in our relationship. So when you struggle at home and you leave home and you're worried and you're struggling to communicate with the family and you get out to work, the devil has someone there waiting. Yeah. Hey, preacher, you need to come here. Let's get that next slide there for me, please. Now, this is where I got your information. The information I just shared with you, you could go on the internet. You could go here at Pew Internet of America Life Project report based on our findings. That's where you get it. And you could check it out and you'll understand that what I'm sharing with you today, I didn't come up with it. I didn't concoct it. I came up with information that is very relevant for us. That's what's happening today. Let's get the next slide, please. And so, because of lack of communication, we have broken homes and we have broken marriages. And our churches are made up of broken homes and broken marriages. Because we say the church is a hospital, we believe that everything should happen there. The church must be a healing ground also. It must be a healing ground. A church must be a family center to help families. But that's not what we are having. I keep saying all we talk is about prophecy. The 2300 days. And some of us can't live even 2300 days in our marriage. We are failing. And we are failing miserably. You know it. And I know it. But we got to stop it. They say in 2013, nearly 50% of all marriages will end up in divorce. Half will end up in divorce. Why? Have the church failed? Yes, we have failed. We are not focusing on the family. We are focusing on more essential. I have served on the church at the union. I serve on the NAD. I serve on our executive. But how many times we talk about fixing, helping fix the families in our church? But I'm glad that this conference, they are proactive. That now they have asked my wife and myself to help to spearhead Family Life Ministry so we could go to different churches and we can share by the grace of God and we could build family altars where the church will become stronger. Let's get the next slide there. Within the family of God, healthy communication and ongoing dialogue are essential component in the task of building, maintaining, or healing the relationship between family members, whether at the congregational, denominational, or corporate level. God. Communication. Knowing how to communicate with each other and what we communicate.
I want to say to you, as my husband mentioned about the church responsibility.
Could you say loving husband?
As my loving husband, the one who I love so much.
Thank you.
And I know God blessed him so much. He has me. Yes. What he was saying to you is that we have to be proactive in our families. We recognize the needs. If you're in a church and you feel the need that there must be something else, you know, that we could do to help. Speak about it. Get together and share and see how best we can work together. Sitting back and saying it is not happening is not going to help the young couple sitting in the pew who, as my husband said, many of us are lonely. But we're scared to say because it's, I don't want your problems really. I just want to hear that you're happy on Sabbath morning. So we have to pass. We have to go over that hurdle and recognize that we have pain in our midst. And when we get to that stage, we will be able to help each other. So we all need to be proactive. And if we have a problem at home, please seek help, speak about it. But don't let it get out of hand because sometimes it becomes too late to repair. So we are pleading and we are hoping that as we visit different churches and speak with different families, that together we will be the family who walks with God.
Do you know the Word of God has all the solution to our problems? Do you know if we would study the Word of God more, we'd have more devotion in our homes? Do you know the Word of God will teach us how to communicate better, how to live better, and how to serve God better. Do you realize it? And I'm sure that we are not utilizing the most important component in our home, the Bible, to study the Word of God. And if we would turn to the Word of God, God's Word will direct us to the way of life. Let's get the next slide there. And so therefore, mothers, you need to know how to embrace and welcome your children. Don't only when they were babies. Your girls are going through struggles in life. Yeah. And sometimes they need a shoulder to cry on. They face rejection out there. And they need to come home and feel there's a place of safety, a place of love. And so therefore you need to reach out to your children.
Yes.
We have to. Let's get the next slide. And so God wants for us happy families. Amen?
Amen.
Happy families. God wants for us to have happy families. I'm saying happy family, happy church, happy conference. Right? Hey, that sounds nice. Happy family, happy church, happy conference. And when you have a happy conference and you have a happy family, we got a lot of money. Everything gonna be good. And then you're gonna have happy pastors, happy presidents. Everything gonna be happy. But the devil does not want happiness in God's church. So he'll use every means that's available to distract, to disorient, and to destroy us. And so, the family of God. Let me get this next slide there. Now listen to the word of God, what it says. Let my wife read it. She reads so well.
Let no corrupt word out of your mouth go forth, but what is good unto the needful building up, that it may give grace to the hearers. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and become one to another kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, according as also God in Christ did forgive you. Ephesians 4:21 and 29 and 31.
Now, let me give you a few guidelines for good communication before we go. These are some of the guidelines for effective communication. Number one, you must show warmth. Warmth, it conveys acceptance and courtesy. Warmth says that you are important to me. Warmth says that you are important to me. You are valuable to me. I enjoy and respect you. I will not try to make a carbon copy of myself, but rather I desire that you fully realize your own potential. Warmth. Next thing you know, effective communication, the genuineness. Having no hidden agenda. No hidden agenda. Genuineness says, I'm not trying to manipulate you. Not, I'm trying to bend you to my will. I want to make it safe for you to communicate with me and safe for you to trust that I will be truthful with you. And then you must have empathy. Putting oneself in the other circumstances. Walking in someone else's shoe. And so, it says the 10 commandments of communication is that your word had to be truthful. Because the Lord detests a lying lip, but he delights in men who are truthful. Next, your words are to be pleasing to God. Good communication. Psalm 19:14 says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight.
Amen.
Every word that we use, we will give an account to God on the day of judgment. Every secret sin, every hidden agenda will be exposed before the Almighty. So God has called us to reform us, to transform us, to make us better husbands, better wives, better parents, better grandparents. We'll have a better church. So God has called us to build up the family, to strengthen the family. So by learning, we must use the tools that's given to us. So when the Lord comes, you and I can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
We have about 10 minutes, and we promised that we would have your comments and information you would like to share before we close with prayer. Okay.
I want to share that I truly believe what you're saying, that maybe there is too much prophecy and something in the church, because yes, our people are, our couples are falling apart, and I do believe that there has to be more family seminars for our people in the church.
Now,
thank you.
I don't usually do this, but I want to share humor with you. Is that okay if I do it? Mm-hmm. You sure? Mm-hmm. A man came to a pastor. He had attended the church for 25 years. He was a respected leader in the church, and he said to the pastor, I've got to tell you, I've never told a soul. It's extremely difficult to tell you now, but my wife and I have had a fight every day for the past 30 years of our marriage. The pastor was taken back. Did you know what to say to the man? Did you know? Playing for time and gather his thoughts, he said, every day we had a fight. Yes, every day, pastor. Did you have a fight before you came to church today? He said, yes, pastor. Well, how did it end up? She came crawling to me on her hands and knees. And what did she say? She said, come out from under the bed, you coward, and fight like a man. So, you know, that's why he was embarrassed. But we don't have to fight. We don't have to crawl. We don't have to hide under any bed. We need to love each other. It's the same person you said, till death do us part. The covenant you make with each other and we make with God. That's finally what God will require of each one of us. Go ahead, wife.
I have a comment. One thing that I've learned, and I'm learning, as we read and as I communicate with my wife on a daily basis, there are five different languages of love that we speak.
Mm-hmm. Tell us.
And sometimes I'm telling her I love her, but that may not be the language that she's speaking. So she's not receiving it because I'm not speaking her language. The five languages of love are your physical touch, acts of service, words of affirmation, giving of gifts, and quality time.
One last, you give her a gift.
Every day.
All right. Okay.
The gift of my love. a lot of times, most men are prone to physical touch. So we'll touch the shoulder, we'll shake a hand, and that's how we show affection, but that's not necessarily how people receive it. I know for my wife, one of her love languages is physical touch. So she'll touch my head, she'll hold my hand, she wants to walk beside me, hold my arm. That's one of her love languages. So when she touches me, it's not that I have to think anything of it, but that's how she's telling me she loves me. And I think a lot of times when we speak each other's language, we'll find that communication gets a lot easier instead of trying to force someone to understand our language.
Amen. Go ahead.
Thank you. Very good.
Forget tomorrow. Do now, the next slide for me while she is going there.
Oh, it's going to the next slide.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So tomorrow we will be focusing, or I'll be having a special presentation dealing with our older adults in relation to family involvement, some of my research work, but I'll be speaking not heavily on the research, but discussing ways of how you can be partners in the care of your aging father, grandfather, husband or wife, and realizing that there is help in the community and that you are a part of the healthcare team. So I will be sharing aspects of those and will be touching aspects also of abuse in the lives of older adults, whether by abuse in the sense of financial abuse and so forth, that we can be aware of this in the church, that we can help each other. So I'm looking forward to an exciting discussion, and please invite those who have older adults, whether in long-term care settings or you're caring for your older adult at home. So thank you.
Pray.
And Pastor is going to pray. Yeah,
pray.
We can pray. We are going to say thanks so much for being here, and God bless you as we continue to build healthy families as we walk with God.
Can we stand together as we pray?